World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here in our last hour here on Halloween. So we thought we'd get into stories of, you know, haunted houses and murdered people. And
yeah, it seems like the night for that, although you've been poo-pooing.
Well,
you know, when you poo-poo things, Phil, it disturbs me because you don't have a romantic soul. Now, I'm not asking you to believe things that you wouldn't ordinarily believe. But it seems to me that you debunk and poo-poo.
What are you saying poo-poo for?
Am I talking to you?
Easy, bud.
You poo-poo, it means you cast, you go, you say boo-poo, you know.
It means that you discount.
Discount?
You like at the store.
No, when you poo-poo, it's your word, go ahead.
You poo-poo. Yes, that's right, bud. Get your kicks some other way, all right?
What do you mean, kicks?
Well, he's getting his kicks because I'm saying poo-poo, so he's starting to think of playing with it or something.
What? I'm talking about what you said.
I understand, but you're getting your...
All right, so not taking it off of Bud, I poo-poo ghosts?
Yes, the whole haunting stories, and I find it a little disquieting. Why aren't you scared by these things?
I didn't say I wasn't scared by ghost stories. They're very scary, you know, and they're very disquieting, and they're very creepy. But do I believe in ghosts? No, not to the extent that... Is there something happening out there? Is there a weird thing? You know, are there weird things in this world that have yet to be explained? Yes. Are there ghosts? Maybe. Are they imprints of... You know, there's all kinds of these screwball explanations. And not once in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, that we have had supposed sightings of ghosts, not once has science been able to put its hand on this and say, all right, now here is what's happening. Now, I understand because it's something that of the metaphysical nature, it's something of a spiritual nature, what have you, that maybe, you know, it's like trying to prove God, maybe. I don't know.
But you think God's a ghost?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, God is a ghost.
God's a ghost? What does that mean?
Well, God's probably Jesus' ghost.
God's Jesus' ghost? Didn't God exist before Jesus?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I was almost ready to go with that. Yeah, I didn't think of that one. Yeah. We have to go back. I'll do some more work on it.
Yeah, you do that, man.
What are these two idiots? Boy, you guys are some real gloids. Are you telling me that God is Jesus' ghost?
Yeah, we already dealt with it, Margaret. It's fine.
Oh, well, okay, Daddy.
Yeah, well, he said, how can it be God's ghost if he was the ghost before Jesus?
Yeah, I get it, man, and I think Margaret does, too.
Why I listen to these two guys, I might as well be sitting in a locked ward listening to two guys playing cards with the cards upside down.
Cards can be upside down.
That's true.
Well...
Anyway, by the way, that references to my father, who I saw in a locked ward reading a newspaper upside down. So,
Phil, I'm not mocking your father.
Oh, okay, but
what, are you going to start to cry?
No, but everybody else around here cries. The real story behind the haunting in Connecticut. You ever hear this one?
Is this another ghost story?
Well, is it another ghost story? Yeah, it's another ghost story. It's another load of hooey. Is what it is.
Oh, this is that Carmen Reed. Oh, God.
What about her?
Oh, she's... This woman, Carmen Reed, was the mother of the family that got haunted. She claimed she was... Can I say?
Go ahead.
She and her husband both claimed they were sodomized by a demon.
Yeah, they wish.
Well, that's what I said when I heard the story. I said, yeah, you wish. You wish.
Well, that's a disgusting thought.
Disgusting thought? First of all, I think she's full of it. I think she's so full of crap, her eyes are brown. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Secondly, this is a woman that goes to these... When they showed that real garbage pit, I saw that. I went and had to review that movie, Haunting in Connecticut. Did you see it?
No.
Well, don't. It's a real worthless... It is the biggest waste of film. So I had to go review it, and she gave... a talk at one of the screenings. Oh, well, my family, this and that. I think she's full of it. I think she made the whole thing up. I don't see her husband anyway. He's an ex-husband, by the way. I think she loves... Look at the pictures they take of this woman. She's got the glamour shots going. Anytime anyone hires a Hollywood-style photographer, You know they're going for something more than just, oh, let me do the talk shows because I have an interesting ghost story to tell. She's looking for something else. I think it gives her a big fat thrill. I think she's looking for a slot on a sitcom.
On a sitcom? Not on a soap opera. On a sitcom.
I think she thinks she's... There's a picture of her with a big crap-eating grin just before she's about to tell people that she was sodomized by Lucifer. You find that funny?
Yes, I find it funny. Why wouldn't I find it funny?
You got a big crap-eating grin on what?
I said you can look it up. I'm not going to repeat it, but you can look it up online.
She's got a crap-eating grin.
She's got just before she gave a talk. This woman's name is Carmen Reed. She was the mother of the family.
All right, well, now, hold on. So that everybody knows what's going on here, Margaret. Don't get so far afield of things.
Where do you get a load of this broad?
Broad?
That, you heard me right, broad. There are women, of which I'm one. There are girls. And then there are broads. Some of them are good. Some of them are so full of...
Don't full of crap, their eyes is brown.
Or if they are one-eyed, as in the You-Know-Who sisters, their eye is brown.
Well, most of them...
Will you shut up, please? The new film, The Haunting in Connecticut... New film? How old? 2009. Well, anyway, it tells a story, according to this article, that is true, or at least it says it's based on true events. The story of the Snedeker family, who in 1986 rented an old house in Southington, Connecticut. Alan and Carmen Snedeker, I guess this is Carmen Reed.
Yes, she's now Carmen Reed.
Moved in with their daughter and three young sons. While exploring their new home, Carmen found strange items in the basement. Tools used by morticians.
Bare nose.
Who knows? Bone saws, things like that.
Bone saws? Man, that would creep me out. Yeah.
Well, hold on for a minute. We don't even know if they found that stuff. Well, just... Maybe they did. The family soon discovered, to their horror, that their home had once been a funeral parlor, and the eldest son began seeing ghosts and terrifying visions.
Now, you'll notice that the eldest son started seeing ghosts and terrifying visions, after they found out that it had been a funeral parlor or whatever it was, a chapel or something?
No, it says a funeral parlor.
Well, isn't that a chapel?
No, that's not a chapel. That's a funeral parlor.
That's where they go and they drain the blood out and everything.
Well, what's the chapel?
Are you kidding or something? What, are you an atheist?
Yes.
Oh. Well, a chapel is where you go to church, and the funeral parlor is where they prepare the dead, like a mortician.
All right.
You're an atheist to the point where you don't even know what a church is?
I know what a church is. I didn't know if the chapel was the same. Never mind.
All right. So the son, that's a good point. The son suddenly starts seeing visions and...
Yeah, I'll bet you he started seeing visions. I bet you right after he found out of the funeral parlors when he started smoking crack.
Yeah, no kidding. He probably went down scoring a rock.
Oh, I'm going to kick...
Hey, man.
You just don't like a guy laughing.
I don't like listening to you.
All right, now wait. The experiences spread to other family members, and it got worse. Both parents said they were raped and sodomized by demons.
Right there. There you go. Right there. See it? It doesn't name the demon. She said she was raped by a very specific demon. Now, if you look at the Bible, isn't there... There's Beelzebub, right?
Yeah, there's Beelzebub. Who else?
Well, Lucifer. They got Lucifer.
Your mother is very... Your aunt is very religious, Robert. Can we get Mavis on the line?
Yeah, get Mavis on.
Yeah, she probably know.
Yeah, because she says she was raped by a very specific demon, and I don't know the names. There's Beelzebub, there's Lucifer, there's Luvuthu. They've got those weird names, right?
Yeah, they're Aramaic kinds of... get her on the phone. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. When we come back, we'll get Mavis Leonard up on the line here and figure out what the hell is going on with all of that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're going to welcome on the program, we haven't talked to Mavis in a while, Mavis Leonard, who is the aunt of Robert Leonard, who is one of our panel members, and good to have her with us. Mavis, we have a specific question for you, hon, tonight, and it has to do with, because we're talking about Halloween. Have you guys get trick-or-treaters?
So what did you say?
I said, do you guys get trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, honey, we get trick-or-treaters, right?
Yeah, I had a trick-or-treater tonight. We gave them out of the Snickers bag, and...
You left the Snicker?
I left Snickers for you. Don't worry about it. He gets them every year, Phil. I will give out to the children. You know, we have a candy.
Mm-hmm.
And turn that down. Your Aunt Ella's over here tonight, Robert, and she said hello.
Yeah, hi, Annie.
You turn it down, honey. I'm trying to wait up for Jimmy Kimmel. And I want to wait up for Conan, too. I love him very much, too.
Yeah, he's fun.
What'd you ask me?
I said, did you have trick-or-treaters?
Oh, we had a trick-or-treaters tonight. Yeah, that little one, they come around. And I said to Robert, I had a sticker. I give out sticker, and I give out a Milky Way, too. And I said, if they're all gone, I'm not going out. I'm going to buy you other. You want Snickers, you're going to have to stop and get it.
That's all I'm asking. I need to stop off and get more. I will.
You do, because I gave out every Snickers we got.
Do you have any candy left over?
I have some candy. Yeah, Milky Way left over.
No way, man. I like have a Milky Way.
Then, Bud, you come over here to Milky Way, because you know something, Robert? You really give me a pain. You don't like a Milky Way. A Three Musketeer, when I got... I have more Three Musketeer you can shake a stick at, because this clown...
You know I don't like Three Musketeer. I've never had like Three Musketeer, and I told you that time and again.
Give a damn what you talk. Never mind.
Okay, let's not argue about this now, but, I'm with Bud. If you can't get rid of the Milky Ways, I'm your man.
I thought you was trying to lose weight, you know?
Yeah, what about you losing weight?
Well, okay.
Phil, I love you. I don't want you to get beefed out like you did, because you look like a big... I love you very much, Phil, but you had a head that just round and bald and fat. And you shovel down the Milky Way, you're going to be a big man way, way beyond anything that anyone's going to want to even comprehend, you know?
Mavis, honey, this is Margaret. We wanted to ask you a question about religion.
All right.
Do you know the names of Christian demons? You know the demons in the Christian religion?
Oh, my goodness, yes, I know their names. You have to stay away from demons. You have to avoid a demon.
Yeah, honey, they want to know the name of a demon on account of a lady in that hunt in Connecticut.
Oh, I read that damn book. I seen that movie, too. Oh, man, that woman. What's the lady's name?
Oh, yeah, Carmen Reed. You know about her.
Oh, that one, she deserves every... I don't believe any devil. And, you know, the devil is a terrible thing, Phil, and the demon. And
you know, Arnie...
Hold on, Rob. Why don't you shut your mouth, please? I hate to talk to you like that. Shut that hole under your nose, because you get home... You bring home a bag of Snickers, I'm going to eat them all in front of you. And watch you cry and weep and break down. That's how much I want to mess your night up if you don't keep it quiet. I'll talk to Mr. Hendry.
All right, hold on, Robert. Let her, you know.
I was talking.
I know you're always talking. It never ends. It's a non-stop sewer, a river, a yada. I can't take it. Say that question again. I forgot. Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry. You're on our show, okay, Mavis? So I'm sorry we confused you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Phil.
No, that's okay. Margaret asked you the names of the Christian demons.
The names? Yes, I know these names. You have to know these names. You have to stay away from the demon, always. There are a lot of them, Margaret. I don't know how many you want me to...
Well, can you name just one or two?
Well, there is... you know Beelzebub. There also... there was a demon part of the Gnosticism, Abraxas. But Abraxas is not a Christian demon.
I've heard of Abraxas.
Yeah, because Santana named an album. That's how you heard about it.
That's how you heard about it.
You don't know nothing about it, Phil. I mean, I love you, but you don't know diddly spot about the demonology.
I'm just saying I've heard of Abraxas, yeah, because of the album. All right.
Yeah, all right. So let's get serious here. There's a... Andromelius, that's a Christian demon. There is Andras, A-N-D-R-A-S, that's a Christian demon. How many you want me to name? There's Barbas, there's Barbados, was a Christian demon.
Is there one that starts with the letter M? Because I remember Carmen, I saw this Carmen Reed. You know who I'm talking about too, don't you?
Oh yeah, she's a pain in the... I heard that woman, that white woman, right?
Yes, she's the one that was haunted in...
She was haunted. You know something? I tell you what else is haunted. My, you know what's haunted. You know, I think she ought to get down and exercise that. That's the lady that said, that's a white woman said that Beelzebub put it to her back door, and I read about it in the newspaper. And
well, yeah, she said that the that she and her husband were sodomized. Forgive me.
Yeah, no, I know. I read all about it. There's Moloch.
That's it. M-O-L-O-C-H.
Yeah, you said to start with an M. Yeah, Moloch. That is a head. That he's a bad boy, the Moloch, a badass mother. And if he sodomized Carmen Reed and her husband, I can tell you that they probably. Well, I don't want to. I bet you they live with a smile on their face.
I don't find that funny at all.
Oh, lighten up, will you, Margaret? I'm having myself a little bit of fun, you know. But look, if Moloch gonna, if you have to have a devil put it to you, and you had no choice in this world, and you have to say, God, thy will be done. I'm about to get sodomized by a demon, a devil, and the black angel that you cast down into the fire and a pit. And if I gotta have I got to, you know, drop the soap in the shower and have a demon come up and go ahead and have at it up 30 feet.
Okay, I understand. You'd rather it be Moloch.
Yeah, cause he at least he knows what he's doing, you know. And
he knows what he's doing. Woo!
All right. Thank you very much, Mavis.
What's going on with you people? Are very weird tonight. Asked me about the butt.
All right, thank you very much.
What are y'all talking about?
What are we talking about? I mean, your aunt is going into some long explanation. She's having the beers, right?
Yeah, she's over there with my aunt Ella's over there. They'll probably have a couple of Henry Weinhard.
Yeah, well, it sounded to me like they're hammered on account of they were going to get into all the discussion and everything.
It's okay, Robert. She's a sweet lady, and I thank her very much. But she did identify Moloch.
Yes, I think that's the demon that Carmen Reed said rolled her over on her stomach. Well,
good God, man. What is the story? Can't we find a way to communicate anything on this show without it turning into like a big, long, oh, wow, I can't find the word. I think sodomize is good enough, and I think we've already been there. So can we move on now?
Whatever you say, Phil, but you like being specific. And Carmen Reed, I don't think it can be stressed enough. I went to this thing. She's got the hair. She thinks she's all...
You're just jealous.
Jealous of what? Of a woman that was... Oh, that's right. I'm jealous of someone that got... I wonder how much she paid that devil to...
Okay. So anyway, here's a family, and they were raped and sodomized by demons. So anyway, it's another day at the office here. Raped and sodomized by demons, and one day, as Carmen mopped the kitchen floor, the water suddenly turned blood red and smelled of decaying flesh, and so on. Finally, the family contacted a pair of self-styled demonologists and ghost hunters, Ed and Lorraine Warren. They sound very benign, sound like a couple of nice people, don't they?
Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah. Who arrived, and they proclaimed that the house was infested with demons.
Yeah, the head demon Moloch, the guy that put it, that gave it to him back door.
All right, fine, bud.
I'm just saying.
You don't know. The scariest part, it's all true, supposedly. The Snedeckers have told their story many times, including on national talk radio shows. I'll bet you they tell it to anybody that'll listen to it. Oh, yeah, yeah, this is, would you like to come out? Yeah, how much you paying? Oh, okay.
You are very cynical, though, aren't you?
Yeah, well, are you telling me you believe this?
I don't believe it, but I don't, you're very cynical.
And what are you? You're not cynical, talking about her with the hairdo and the fact that she, anyway. The film's poster states in capital letters at the top that the movie is based on true events, yet others aren't so sure. Investigator Joe Nickel, or Nickel, reports in the May June issue of Skeptical Inquirer that the Snedeker's landlady found the whole story ridiculous. She noted that nobody before or since had experienced anything unusual in the house, and that the Snedecker family stayed in the house for more than 2 years before finally deciding to leave. See, that to me right there is the clincher.
What is?
The fact that they stayed there.
Yeah, you're going to stay there and be sodomized unless they liked it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you understand? They stayed there for 2 years. I believe they were haunted, and I believe these events happened, but I think she got a big kick out of all of it, and I don't want to go any further.
She got a big kick out of being nightly attacked by
a demon up the back of the...
That's the craziest thing!
What a child.
I'm the child. She's the one that stayed in the house.
All right. Okay, so there you go, folks. We'll give you a little bit more background on this bull. This story's got even more holes in it than that other thing that we were reading about, the Amityville story. What a load, man. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, with a backstage pass, you have access to all 5,000 hours of great audio. We have our daily podcast. Tomorrow, another Bobby Dooley podcast. That's free. We also have a classic podcast as part of your subscription, along with all of the archives, along with our news feed, along with our webisodes, along with our animated series, along with all kind of thing. It's philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. So we're continuing the story here of the Snedeker family. I know we got a couple of phone calls to get to, and we will. The Snedeker family of Connecticut was a family that reported a haunting of their house, and this is what this book or movie, The Haunting in Connecticut. Now, I didn't see this. It came out when?
It came out about 2010, and again... Carmen Reed, who is the wife, or was, she's no longer married to this man, she played it to the hilt. Obviously a great deal of publicity for her. I found all of her attention-seeking and attention-grabbing and the glamour shots that she had, I found it all disgusting. And the story of... I can't rid my mind of the idea of her being sodomized by a demon...
It's all interesting to you and stuff?
Maybe it is interesting to me, Bud, but it's nothing that you would understand.
Well, I don't want to hear any more about it, okay?
And I'm not proposing that you hear more about it. But I'm saying she's walking... Oh, well, you know, a demon sodomized me. I mean, where does she...
What is she like? This is some kind of a status symbol?
Well, never mind.
Well, no, seriously. I mean, is this something among women?
Not among women, but I didn't think it was until she started... Oh, well, you know, I... Never mind. You know that I had anal with a demon? Really? Oh, yeah.
And so this is something that women talk about when they're having a wine tasting or something?
A wine tasting?
Well, whatever you guys do when you get together.
Well, we have drinks and food, Phil, just like guys.
Wow. All right, in any event, getting back to the story... By the way, I had anal sex with a demon.
Go ahead and make fun of it.
Well, if you're jealous...
I didn't say I... You really... You know, Phil, speaking of demons, don't you drop the soap in the shower.
All right, apparently being assaulted and raped by Satan's minions for months at a time wasn't a good enough reason to break the lease. That's a great line in this story, because keep in mind, that's what these people, the Snedekers, say happened to them while they were in this house. The Snedeker story first came to light in horror novelist Ray Garten's 92 book, In a Dark Place, The Story of a True Haunting. In an interview in Horror Bound magazine, Garten discussed how the true story behind the haunting in Connecticut came about. He was hired by Ed and Lorraine Warren to work with the Snedekers and write the true story of their house from hell. He interviewed all the family members about their experiences and soon realized that there was a problem. I found that the accounts of the individual Snedekers didn't quite mesh. They couldn't keep their stories straight. I went to Ed with this problem. Oh, they're crazy, he said. You got some of the story. Just use what works and make the rest up. Just make it up and make it scary. This is what I've long suspected. This is an industry like any other industry, the horror industry, the haunted house industry, and you've got professionals that do everything. You've got, if wherever there's a market, you're going to find a professional. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Phil, look, you have to understand something. A woman doesn't make up waking up in the middle of the night and there's a demon breathing on her neck with his...
Yes, she does. And her husband, too? Wherever there's a market for something, you're going to find professionals. Wherever there's a market. If there was a market suddenly tomorrow for seal skins, which of course are illegal and which most people frown on, suddenly, all of a sudden, I don't care how much we frowned on it, I don't care how much we didn't like it, I don't care, there's going to be seal skin sellers, there's going to be sale, there's all kinds of people. If there was suddenly a market tomorrow for drinking seawater, there'd be professionals within weeks that would be all lined up ready to tell you the benefits. If there was suddenly reports of demonic possession, just like after that movie came out, suddenly you'd find Catholic priests up one block and down the next that are all ready to go in and cleanse a house of all the demons. And now we have the haunting of a house, the haunting of a church, the haunting of a street, the haunting of a car.
Haunting of a car?
Yeah, I bet you they've got haunted cars, man.
Yeah, I thought I wanted to kill Dozer.
Yeah, well, kill Dozer. That wasn't really a haunting.
What do you mean, Killdozer?
Don't remember that movie with the bulldozer?
Oh, that turd, that thing laid there and stunk for years.
Well, it was on TV.
Well, good for that. It was on TV.
No, that was a made-up story, man, about a radioactive bulldozer that tried to kill those guys.
Oh, I thought it was haunted.
No, it wasn't haunted. But Stephen King, wasn't Christine, wasn't that a car?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. The point that I'm making here, man, is if there is interest in anything, wherever the public goes, you're going to find a cottage industry springing up. And so now we have haunted houses. We have ghosts. We have haunted whatever. And what do we need? Well, we need to have the guys that drive the demons out. And here come the professional demonologist, Ed and Lorraine Warren. And what's their real game? Their real game is to seek out these places that are haunted. Find some panicked homeowner or some dumbass or some really smart person who's willing to go in with them on publicizing a haunted house. All right. Then the guy contacts the novelist. Then they write the book. Then they get their piece. I got money that says, obviously, these demonologists, this Ed and Lorraine Warren, are probably getting some of the back end on this book, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, Moloch. Moloch got the back end.
All right.
Yeah. Good point. Moloch got the back end. Garten was hired by Ed and Lorraine Warren. And he says, just make it scary and make the rest up. Garten, who had accepted the job expecting to have a real true story to base the book on, even this guy I don't believe.
Well, Phil, don't you believe anyone?
Look at this guy, Garten, is found by these Snedekers. You're trying to tell me that this guy is Mr. Yeah, I only write about real horror stories. I don't know. Anyway, he thought he was going to have a real horror story to base his book on. He did what he was told. I used what I could. I made up the rest, and I tried to make it scary as I could. So, you see what I'm saying? He just made the whole... It's a bunch of hooey.
Well, what are you saying about Ray Garten? This is a very serious writer.
He can't be that serious. He's making crap up. He's doing what Ed and Lorraine want him to do. Though the Snedekers stand by their story, it seems there is little or no proof that anything supernatural occurred at the house. Whether or not the Snedekers actually believed their story, they stood to make money from the book deal. Of course. They were aware that the Lutz family of Amityville, New York, profited handsomely from selling the rights to their true story of a haunted house. The Amityville Horror has long since been revealed as a fiction by investigator Rick Osuna and others. Interestingly, the Warrens were also involved in the Amityville case. Are you ready for that?
Wait a minute. What do you mean the Amityville is fiction?
According to this investigator, Rick Osuna, said the whole thing is a load of old rubbish. And he talked to that clown, what's his name, that Ronald DeFeo. That guy just killed his whole family. Fiction passed off as memoir or true story is certainly nothing new from William Peter Blatty's book and film The Exorcist. I don't think William Peter Blatty said that that was a true story, did he?
What, The Exorcist?
Yeah.
I don't recall that, no.
I never heard that that was a true story. I never, ever heard anything about that being based on anything true. To James Fry's debunked bestseller, A Million Little Pieces. Filmmakers have a... What is that about?
I think that's about a ghost.
Well, obviously about a ghost, man, but what is it?
Yeah.
You
don't know. Okay.
Well, it's about a ghost.
Well, we know it's about a ghost. What is Million Little Pieces?
Probably the ghost.
Never mind, bud, okay? Just quit while you're ahead. Filmmakers have a long... The ghost. That's the name of the ghost?
No, A Million Ghosts.
Get out of here, man.
Filmmakers have a long history of touting movies as being based on true stories, when in fact they have little or no connection to any real events. Yeah, when you know that when it says based on real events, I start backing away from something when I see a movie that's... Now, if it says, this is a true story, I take the producer at his word, because when it says, this is a true story, I'm figuring, okay, this is true, you know. Now, I saw the story that comes as close as anything I've seen in recent times to actual truth was the John Adams miniseries. And even that had to be condensed, you know.
The what? The John Adams? That's 7 or 8 years old.
Well, you name a movie, everything that I have seen, including this I bet you anything, this Captain Phillips has got a whole bunch of baloney in it. As for The Haunting in Connecticut, Garten notes, I suspect the movie will begin with the words, based on a true story. Be warned, just about anything that begins with any variation of this phrase is trying a little too hard to convince you of something that probably isn't true. How about that?
Well, and Argo, there's an example.
Argo, and also Gangs of New York. Now, there's a movie that was the biggest load of crap that had ever been put on screen. Gangs of New York is a movie that I'm supposed to believe was based on a true event. Well, first of all, there wasn't any big gang war like the one they had at the beginning of that movie. There was a big war, there was a big fist fight, a riot, if you will, in the 1840s that was politically charged, having to do with the supporters of one candidate versus the supporters of another. It might have had something to do with the whole New York Metropolitans as opposed to New York Municipals. There was a battle in New York at the time between the state and officially sanctioned police department and a sort of rogue police department called the New York Municipal Police. And the same thing with firefighters. However, Gangs of New York took this street fight and turned it into some almost quasi-religious combat between these varying gang factions, some of which probably didn't exist, the Chichesters and all this stuff. There's a really funny thing online right now that you have to watch because it is a brilliant, absolutely brilliant conveyance, I think, of what happens to facts as time marches on and as history unfolds. And it's on the crack.com site.
That site's hysterical.
It's fantastic. And it's called The Beatles in the... It's about how the Beatles will be viewed in the year 3000. You got to watch this because what's brilliant about it is not so much the humor of how the Beatles will be viewed, but it teaches you precisely what happens to historical events, how they get condensed, how times and how eras and centuries get slammed into each other, how things that were tangential to that individual are suddenly attributed entirely to that individual. It's great. You got to watch it. It's on crack.com. It's The Beatles in the year 3000, how the Beatles would be viewed in the year 3000. I just saw it posted today on Twitter, and I retweeted it because it was great.
What's it called again?
I don't know what it's called, but it's like The Beatles in the year 3000, a documentary on how the Beatles would be viewed in the year 3000. Go check it out. Do it. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow, another Bobby Dooley, and of course on Sunday, it is the game of the week with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. What the heck is this, Bud?
Oh, sorry.
Put on some rock and roll or something even approaching rock and roll before I flip it. There you go. That's what I wanted.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, don't get it done, man. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Say sorry to Matt. He's sitting there wondering what happened, you know? He's counting it down. He's doing his job. And the next thing, we come up with something limp and just soggy to the touch. All right, anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Father James McCorder is joining us online, returning from... I guess a long trip to San Francisco today. Father McCord, is just a quick question for you about exorcisms.
Oh, my God.
Hello?
I talked to Dickman, and he said to me that you wanted to talk about spirituality and confession, and I didn't know it had nothing to do with demons. You know, Bill, I have to tell you, I'm wrung out and worn out today talking to people about demonology. And we're going to talk about, exorcism, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, why else would I be calling you on Halloween?
There you go, right there. And to me, that's a bit of an insult, you know, because it would be nice to hear you call me up here and say, I've got a father, I think I'm going to be one to mass tomorrow. But I think maybe I'd go down to mass tomorrow, Father, and might even assist you in serving mass. When's the last time you served mass?
Wait. Hold on, Father.
No. When is the last time that you served mass?
I haven't served mass since I was a kid.
That's what I suspected. Have you been to reconciliation? You don't have to answer. But you see, Phil, for me, it's far better if you'd be coming to mass and talking about things that exist and not about exercising demons and the whole falderal and gobbledygook that this Dickman is trying to pitch. I tell you, bud, I love you, but you're really starting to get on my nerves.
He told me to call you up and get an exorcism update.
What do you mean by an exorcism update? I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, so have you not exorcised any demons?
No, I've not exorcised any demons. There's no one calling me up and saying you've got to drive the spirit out of some little girl who's spitting up her. Phil, can I tell you something in all honesty? And, you know, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I say it with Christian charity. I say it with Christian love in my heart. But if a 14-year-old girl puked up on me, woo! I don't even want to think about what I'd do.
Well, wait a minute.
What do you find funny about that?
Father, this is Margaret. I want to be clear. You're saying that you've not performed an exorcism.
I didn't say that I'd not performed an exorcism. I'm saying that I haven't done one today, nor have I done one in the last many, many years. I'm not even going to put a number of years on it.
You don't want to tell us when you did an exorcism?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play the game with you. I'm going to tell you, though, if a 14-year-old girl spit up whatever they're supposed to spit up when they're possessed by the demon. If I ever saw that, I can tell you something that I did do. And this is perhaps more to the point of exorcism. The last exorcism that I was taking part in was in the 1960s. And this was in a village in India. And I'd been called, because we've been on the mission there, to minister to a young boy, about a 16-year-old boy who had been acting in the most violent and radical of manners, tearing up his mother's home. He'd assaulted family members. They thought at the time he might have had epilepsy. They weren't sure. And in desperation, they called me.
So this was an exorcism?
This was what they thought was a demonic possession. It was simply me going to look at this child, and I looked at this young man. He's laying in the bed, and he's going back and forth, and his eyeballs are rolled up in his head, and I'm thinking, boy, this is... I said, this is one for the books, you know. And these were Indian people. They didn't speak English. They spoke Hindi, you know, the language of the Hindu people, the Indian people. And I said, well, I believe that he's sick. I don't know if he's demonically possessed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so his eyes... But I'm thinking to myself, boy, you really got... I said, this guy's good, you know.
Did you think he was faking it?
Oh, absolutely he was faking it. Absolutely he was faking it. He was like that. I think this young man was the village clown. And I think he was trying to clown me. And you know me, Phil, you know me, Margaret, Bud, the rest of you, Robert, you know me. And you know there's one thing you don't do with me, and that's clown me. You try to clown me, and you're going to be walking down the street with a limp, and most likely bow-legged. So I...
Well, Father, that's...
No, just let me tell the story. So I put my hand on his head, and I said a bunch of mumbo-jumbo and the things they want to hear. Well, this guy, this turkey, this young Indian man thought he was going to clown me. He turns to his right, and I don't know whether he'd stored it up in a cheek, whether he'd had something hidden, but it looked like clam chowder. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's so funny?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I think he had stored up. It looked like clam chowder. He turned his head to the right, and out of the mouth comes the clam chowder. All over a brand new cassock, part of the cassock. This is a brand new, beautiful cassock that I was wearing.
So he soiled or he fouled the cassock you were wearing.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I'm pretty much to this day sure it was clam chowder that he had secreted or hidden someplace. And when the time was right, he rolled over and he made the sound. He went like that. And he thought he sounded like a real demon, you know. And Phil, as God is my witness, I reared back with my right hand, I balled up my fist, and with about five or six straight right-hand shots, I just beat his face in.
Oh, come on.
No, don't go there, because this guy thought he was going to clown me. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know as well as I do, I got better things to do with my day than travel about 120 miles down a filthy back road in the back country of India, where polio and tuberculosis and every other disease is rife. And you think I'm going to go down there and have some village idiot clown me? So I took my right fist and I beat this guy's face in about five, six, seven good shots. And when I left, he was out cold.
I gotta go, Father, but that's a hell of a story.
Well, you think on that.
Wow.
Well, you know something? I think he's nuts.
You know something? I don't. I think the guy is right on, man. I really do. I think he is right. I think Father McQuarters has always been pretty right on, you know? And,
So, in other words, a young man who is in danger of losing his soul...
Oh, will you get out of here? You heard what the father said. He said there wasn't anything with this guy. He was the village clown. He was trying to mess with people. So the priest comes... The guy spits up clam chowder, and he just boom, boom.
Yeah, he's dead like six right hands.
Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow night.